members of the Merry Marvel Marching Society. Marvel's pull is Tucker Marcus here, and I'm dropping by to give you an intro for an excellent chat that Ryan and I had with Marvel New Media VP and head of content, Steve Wacker, aka former Spider-Man editor, and crucially for the stuff we're talking about today, editor of Hawkeye. That's the 2012 legendary, growing in its legend by the day series by Matt Fraction and David Aja. So we were talking about this series with Vanity Fair's Joanna Robinson on a full episode of The Pull List recently. And because old Steve is right down the hall in the bullpen, the digital bullpen these days, we ran down there, knocked on his door and said, hey, get out here, tell us some behind the scenes details of what it was like putting this book together, what it was like working with Matt and David, and some of the really unique circumstances that this book was born out of, which was very fascinating to see, especially for a book that, like I said, has grown in its popularity, that has become very influential over the years. It's all super, super interesting stuff. So here is Ryan, Agent M. Penagos, and me, Tucker Marcus, chatting with the editor of Hawkeye 2012, Steve Wacker.
Now, Tucker, we just had a great conversation with Joanna Robinson, but one of the things I was hoping we could do was to get someone who worked on the book, aside from Catherine Grace. She took a time machine, she helped work on the book. I wanted to get someone who worked on the book to give us a little inside info. So who do we have with us now on the line?
My name is Steven Wacker, former Marvel editor, and I edited Hawkeye.
When we, you know, so when that title comes up, when you think back on working with Matt and David, when you think back on the whole project, what comes to mind? Does it stand out to you as a creative experience, as it does for so many readers, as a highlight of that era?
It was, yeah, it's top three of my best experiences in editing comics. Matt and David were, I mean, they'd already worked together on Iron Fist before that, so they came as a package. But it was certainly a roller coaster ride, but it was just an absolute blast of a book. Every piece of it was just a delight to get in. And we had so many great, talented people who came through the doors, starting with, of course, Matt Allingworth on colors and Eliopoulos on the letters and Annie Wu at one point, Jesse Hamm, Steve Lieber, all these great people just coming in and out. And it's definitely, I think, some of Matt's, in particular, Matt, it's the book he poured most of himself into, I feel. I don't know that he feels the same way, but that's just my input reading all of Matt's Marvel books. And David created a book that has it cast such a shadow over an entire era of Marvel storytelling. He's just amazing watching him on every single page of every issue. We would get the layouts from David because David, you know, does as much work as he can ahead of time. And sometimes the layouts were just parallel lines and an oval and an arrow that said Hawkeye. And we, you know, Matt and I would look at them and Sana, whoever was else was assisting on the book at the time, be like, I guess this is great. It's David. So I know what it'll look like when it's done, but this looks terrific.
You know, speaking of David, you mentioned to me that David had made playlists around the book as you guys were putting it together.
Yeah. What I was trying to remember if we actually could run them or not, because he had, yeah, he was deep into music. He's got a depth of musical knowledge, and every script Matt would turn in, I think one of the first things David did was, as he was figuring out what the story looked like and what it felt like tonally, he would at the same time just make a list of the music that would play as he drew. So that was fun. I think we tried to run them in the books. They may have. We might have run playlists online at some point. Hmm.
Do you have a grasp of like what actually made this book so special? I mean, you mentioned it that Matt and David had worked before. Matt and David have done incredible work across the board, but like, what do you have are you able to like say what made it so special?
I have a philosophy on this.
Yeah.
My favorite Marvel runs, I'm not a huge plot guy, just in general. I understand the importance of plots, but it's not the stuff I remember. I remember the character stuff. And my favorite runs are those runs where I feel like I could read that comic and that story and I understand and know a little bit about the writer and the artist who made it. So I very purposely think of Hawkeye as a book that Matt poured himself into. And even if I didn't know Matt, and honestly, who really knows Matt? He's like the wind. But I can read it and at least walk away thinking, boy, I think I know a little bit about this guy. I definitely understand the tone of that book. I feel like I know David, although we've only met a couple of times, but I get the kind of person that he is. So when I think of the classic runs, like the ones I love, Simonson's Thor, Frank and Klaus's Daredevil, you know, things like that, even Slott's Spidey, which is a little closer to home, but I understand about the people that made them. And I don't know what that alchemy is, but I used to push writers and artists into thinking about what's just the character here that you feel like you can pour yourself into a little bit, say something new. Wade on Daredevil was another one. Mm-hmm. Just something that you can personalize it to yourself. And that means different things to different people. Like, I don't know that Walt's a god of thunder. I wouldn't be surprised. But I read that book. I think it's one of our best. And I understand his tastes and who he is and the things he values and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You had told me also that the first issue originally wasn't the first issue. What was the story behind that?
So I did text Matt today because I couldn't quite remember the details, and he reminded me. When he pitched the book, the issues that became 4 and 5 were originally issues 1 and 2. And this is something that would happen a lot, at least with me. It happened on a few other books where I would get the initial thing, and I just had a gut feeling like, I'm not sure that we're starting in the right place here. Sometimes we're just not introducing concepts and characters to people who speak human and not necessarily Marvel, like just in case someone were to pick up one of these books. It's just a gut instinct you have sometimes of, this is great, I'm not sure it's the place to start. So I don't remember all the details of how we got there, but there was, I do know that 4 and 5 were initially the first two issues. Then he delivered another issue, which was, again, great. Still didn't scratch the itch, and that became issue 2. Even he knew, like, this is done. I think this is right. I still think it's an issue 2. So it was a real puzzle we were putting together at the beginning.
I mean, this book has, like, one of, in addition to being such a fan favorite, it also has, like, such an iconic set of covers that are just one of those things that, for whatever reason, just are instantly recognizable and associated with this run and being just a really special time. Do you remember who came up with the design? Who was behind that all? Was that David? Was that the editorial team?
It was David. He had a very particular look. I think we had to sell it a little bit. Anything your first issue gets extra attention at Marvel. When it's not a big action scene, that can also get people nervous sometimes. That's what we do. And I have no issue with that. I get it. But David's art is just inarguable. You can't, there's nothing wrong with it. It comes in. And I believe there was some point where he was sending several covers in at a time, because at that point, Matt sort of knew the general direction of the series.
Right.
So he was able to lay out covers. We did a connecting cover at one point early on, I think. That might have been 4 and 5. And he was able to make the covers and the look of the book an extension of the story being told. David just has incredible taste. You can't look at his work and argue about it. It's that good.
Yeah. And we've seen him doing covers for X Corp now, which is, it's really delightful to see him back again. We were talking most specifically about issues 1 through 5 with Joanna. But we also, you know, at the end of issue 5, there was, you know, the letters page talks about how that issue went to press during Hurricane Sandy. And then we even actually see that sort of affected into the storyline. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about that before we let you go?
Yeah. So that was Hawkeye 7. It was Matt's idea to have it focus on Hurricane Sandy, which was obviously hitting us, you know, all of us in New York at the time. But it was also the perfect book to tackle it in, because it's about a regular guy doing regular things. I think Matt wrote it over Thanksgiving weekend. You know, it was a quick turnaround. And by my recollection, we went to 2 artists because we were splitting the book up. We had a limited amount of time to get this done in a window where we'd be effective. And we wanted the royalties to support the relief effort. So we went to Steve Lieber and a fantastic artist who unfortunately just passed, Jesse Hamm, who did a great, great job. I think they might have both been Portland-based or somewhere out there. But they jumped at it. They dove right in. It was, on top of just being a sort of a way to deal with current events, it was also just a great issue of the run. And it I think it felt special to a lot of people. And I want to say it was around that time. I'd have been just before. There was another memory I remember when people really were starting to understand, like, okay, that's what this book is. This book is not the book that crosses into War of the Year. Mm-hmm. This is the book that does the stories on the ground. It was around that time I remember our president, Dan Buckley, at one of the Marvel retreats, because the Marvel retreats, everything gets batted around and everything gets debated and everyone's got opinions on everyone else's books and work. And that's just where you sort of get it all out there. I remember Dan at one point having to stand up and slightly raise his voice to the rest of the room saying, guys, leave them alone. It's working. Let them be, let this be what it is. And that sort of stopped all that conversation, which is great. And had I known how effective that would be to letting Matt and David do what they wanted, I would have paid Dan extra to say that about all of my books. But that particular issue, I think if I had to hand one issue of Hawkeye to someone, it might be that issue. Cause it just, even though unfortunately David's only on the cover, but it does tell you exactly who the character is and why this book is different, because you're on the ground looking up with Hawkeye. Mm.
I think you're so right that it is perfectly emblematic of what this series is and where we started with what is the special sauce here, which is just like that humanity and the humanity of the creators going into the book and therefore the humanity of the characters coming out of the book. It's really, really special stuff.
This job, that editorial job is much easier if you just hire Matt and David and Matt and Chris and like just hire those people and you're most of the way there.
That's the secret. Steve, you're working on a million different projects and doing some really cool stuff, but I know you're excited about some audio stuff that, I mean, of course you're excited about what Tucker and I do every week, but on top of that, there are some other audio projects you're really jazzed about.
We have taken your idea for recording people's voices, and what we just launched in association with SiriusXM is a new podcast called Old Man Star-Lord. This is a new adventure set in that old man universe. Star-Lord's the first one out. I can tell you we're going to see Widow. We're going to see Hawkeye, speaking of, and really explore over the course of several seasons, like this whole universe. So if you remember that old Miller McNiven story that started with Old Man Logan, we're going even deeper. It should be super cool. We've got some great talent on it. Benjamin Percy's writing the Star-Lord one. That's going on now. So you should definitely check it out. And I'm also planning, I'm the future host of Marvel's Pull List starting next week. Ooh,
heck yeah. Thank you, Steve.
All right. You guys are awesome.
Thanks again, Steve. This is great. Again, thanks to Steve for some really interesting insights to Hawkeye, a book that we all love. And if you haven't read it, what are you doing? What are you doing? Go read it right now. Stay tuned for our next episode of Marvel's Pull List. As usual, coming next week, where we're talking with Al Ewing about Loki, Agent of Asgard, as well as prepping you for all the new Marvel comics headed your way on Wednesday, June 9th. Until then, I'm Tucker Marcus, and this is Marvel, your universe.
Sometimes the bad guys win. The bad guys won.
You're saying they're dead. You're certain of that?
A war zone.
Coordinated effort on the part of
Captain America is
Black
dead.
Black Widow is dead.
Thor
Iron
is
Man
dead.
Is dead.
Rocket?
Yes.
Earth officially sucks. I'm Peter Quill, but you can call me Star-Lord.
You are a guardian of the galaxy.
A long time ago, a long, long time ago, we were the guardians of the galaxy. But that was before, and, well, this is now.
Even if you still consider yourself the guardians, you're 30 years too late to make any difference here.
It's a quest! The Guardians' epic quest for cosmic glory.
This mission of atonement you're on, it's gonna get us both killed.
It'll be fine. I got my six shooters and my booster boot.
Ugh, the last time you tried to fly in those things, you ended up with a concussion and a broken arm.
Before this is all over, I'm gonna prove I'm just as good as I ever was. Just you wait. Just give me a sec.
Not the Walkman.
It'll take me to my happy place. Hang on.
You really have the attention span of a toddler.
All right!
Okay, all set. We can proceed.
Marvel Entertainment and SiriusXM present Marvel's Wastelanders, Old Man Star-Lord. Starring Timothy Busfield as Star-Lord, Chris Elliott as Rocket, Patrick Page as Kraven the Hunter, Dylan Baker as Doom, with performances by Vanessa Williams, Asif Manvi, and Danny Glover. Listen to an apocalyptic alternate future of the Marvel Universe in Marvel's Wastelanders, Old Man Star-Lord. The first series in the thrilling new multi-part audio epic releases new episodes every Tuesday on the SiriusXM app and desktop player, plus everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/Wastelanders.